Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Start reading in verse 28. Luke 9:28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they awoke, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto... I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time reading today. Let me start over, verse 33. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Let's read verse 35 again. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And let's pray and ask God's blessing. Lord Jesus, we're gathered together here in your name. Lord, we want to honor you and glorify you. Lord, there are some in here that have heavy hearts, some that are a little bit distracted with all of the cares and the affairs of this life. And Lord, we bring a lot of things in here into this room, and I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we approach your word, that we could get something out of it, that you would help us, Lord, that there would be something in the message today that would be a blessing and a help to everyone here that's come today. Lord, we ask that you would take control of this meeting. Lord, we want you to be honored and not ourselves. Lord, we want your word to be paramount. We love you. Lord, we're seeking your face and we're asking your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's an interesting verse right here. I'm not going to expound on this particular story that we read. I read the story pretty much just to give us the context of what we're dealing with here. This is the story of the Mount of Transfiguration, of course, when the disciples looked and they saw Jesus. Thank you, brother. That's from my wife. Oh, thank you, Judy. Not that I don't trust my wife, but... Just kidding you. All right. Let's see if I can get through this. If I can't, and I just start coughing too much that I can't finish, then Brother Eddie will be so kind as to come up and finish the message. All right. So, Peter, as his nature is, says something a little bit dumb, you know, when he sees the three up here, and he... basically is making Jesus equal with Moses and Elias and wants to make three tabernacles. And God, when he speaks out of the cloud, is very clear as to what he considers to be the ultimate voice, the one that we ought to pay attention to. It says there in verse 35, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And my message today is in those two words right here. Hear him. I think this is a message that the world needs to hear. It may be a message that There's someone in here today that maybe you have haven't been in church for a long time. Maybe this is your first time ever in church. This is some good advice, is to hear him. There are a lot of voices out in the world and a lot of messages and a lot of ideas and a lot of things that people speaking, but this is God speaking here, and he says, hear him. There is a phrase in the Gospels that's repeated several times, and excuse me. This phrase is, it appears several times, and let's go to the Gospel of Mark first of all. We find a parable, and this is a parable of the four different kinds of ground. You look in Mark chapter 4. For the sake of time, we're not going to read this entire parable, although that you can go back. And in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 3, he says, hearken, and then he goes and begins to deal with this parable of the four kinds of ground and shows how the Word of God applies, how it lands in four different ways upon the different kinds of the hearts of men, and how there's just a quarter of those hearts that really understands and hears the Word. And basically what he's saying is, he says there's a hard and a stony ground, and it's by the wayside, and it's all packed down, and he says the Word of God gets on that, and then the fowls of the air, which represents the devils, they come and of course they take away the Word. And and there was other kind of seed that fell on stony ground, and it didn't bear a lot of fruit either, because you know, there was some persecution that came about, and when the sun came up and the wind blew the ground and there was a little bit of a drought, there was no earth, there was nothing there to root down into, and so this particular seed, it didn't bear a lot of fruit either. And then there was another kind of seed that went into a ground that had a lot of thorns, and it grew, but it was choked out because of the thorns and the thistles. And there was only one kind of ground at the end of the parable that actually had any kind of fruit, and that was the one in the end where the ground had been plowed and it had been prepared. And so he takes this parable, and this parable is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and he uses this parable and uses this illustration of agriculture to teach us a lesson about the Word of God and about the human heart, about how the Word of God has the effect on the human heart. And I think we can see from experience that most of the time, those three kinds of grounds, that's where the Word falls on. You get the Word, and there are people that, you know, you can talk to them till you're blue in the face, and they're phased out. They don't have any interest. Their hearts are hard. They're closed. They're dull. And so you can give them the greatest message in the world, and it doesn't touch them at all, and they just walk away. And it doesn't have any kind of an effect on them, and the Word goes away, and you can see in others, and in others, you know, they may even have a little bit of an interest in the Word and want to know more about it, but then, you know, their persecution comes, and I'll tell you something, persecution is the divider between who are Christians and who are not, and we don't have a lot of experience in this country with persecution, but I don't want you to forget, I mention it often, that there are brothers and sisters around the world today that don't have it like you have it. They didn't get up and get in their car this morning and not have to submit a travel document before they started driving. I don't think that you hit any military checkpoints on the way to church today. I doubt very seriously that any snipers got any chance at you on the way to church, depending on what part of town you live in, of course. But I don't think any snipers got after you today. I don't think that there was any kind of persecution. There was there weren't riots out on the street in front of the church. There's no secret police in our midst waiting to arrest us. Let me tell you, if you came to church today and you didn't have any persecution, you've got things pretty good. And you may be complaining because something a little bit went wrong, but let me tell you something, men, there are brothers and sisters in the world today that their lives are not like that. There are some, man, we get stories out of Syria, you know, and Christians, man, so ostracized, and I wonder how you would accept it and how you would take it if you lost your job simply because you were a Christian. Here in America, I'm telling you something, there'd be an outcry. You'd be raising your hand in rights, you know, I demand my rights, you know. I tell you something, that separates the Christians from those that are not. And I would suspect that if serious persecution came down here in the States, our churches may be a whole lot emptier. May not be a whole lot of people interested. It sure is nice to follow the Lord while He's popular and while He's socially acceptable. So sometimes persecution is the dividing line as to who really responds to the Word of God and who doesn't. And then, of course, there's another one, and man, we fit the bill for this, being distracted by the cares and the affairs of this life. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Those of us who love the Lord and who have already committed our souls to His trust, we still have problems with distraction and with diversion and with all these other things. Man, life just gets complex. And if you're not careful, you can let life overshadow your ability to be able to serve God. Man, I would give you a word of warning today, and I bet anybody in here that has gray hair would tell you the same thing. Man, if you're distracted today with the cares and the affairs of this life, man, buck up and serve God anyway.
Amen.
You don't have time for church, make time. You don't have time to read the Bible, find some time. You know, I'm telling you, you got dead time throughout your whole day. You can find time to get the Word of God into your heart if you really wanted to.
Amen.
There was a time when I was... when I was a point in my life, when I was real busy and I didn't have a lot of time, and I realized, you know, that at stoplights and at stop and go traffic, I mean, there's a part of my day right there. And so I started carrying little flashcards that I'd write verses on. And whenever I came to a stoplight, now I would suggest, you know, that you do this carefully. Because if you get into the verse and then all of a sudden people are honking and your line is the only one that hasn't gone, you know, I would say be real careful with this. But I'm telling you something, don't let the cares and the affairs of this life stop you from doing what God's called you to do. But then there's that other kind of ground that's the good ground that is the ground that is prepared for the Word of God and that actually bears fruit. And that's where I want all of us to be. At that particular kind of ground right there. But in these parables, there's three times that this parable is spoken. And excuse me, I'm sorry. And there's something that he says after the end of each parable. There in verse 9 of Mark in chapter 4. He said unto them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now this is a figure of speech that the Lord uses several times. And it's also found... If you look, it's found to the messages to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, where he says again, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You know, my message comes from that verse that we just read, that this is my beloved Son, hear him. And I want to make sure that we're conditioned to be able to hear his voice. And not in some metaphysical kind of way like he's whispering to us. You know, thank God that I don't have to worry about God appearing to me in dreams and visions and in circumstances in life and all of those. Man, I've got something solid and I've got this same exact voice that you have. And that's this book right here.
Amen.
And, you know, people call us Bible thumpers, and that's actually a compliment.
Amen.
To us. You know, that we put ourselves right here in the Word of God. I'm saying, man, this is good advice. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I want you to know that not everybody has ears to hear. Now, I want you to know right now, the first thing he's talking about is he's not talking about the physical ears. He's not talking about whether somebody is physically deaf or whether they have the ability to hear, because a deaf man can hear God's voice by reading the Word of God. It's someone who's conditioned. He's basically talking about the way that you hear the Word. And it's very important. I want to deal with it in certain ways. First of all, I want to warn you, he that hath ears to hear, he says right here, look down a little bit farther. He expands on this because he says it just a little bit different in each gospel. And in verse 24, he says unto them, "Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." I'll give you quickly just another word of warning. Be careful what you hear. You know, we're very much sticklers in people getting into the Word of God for themselves. Now, somebody got the wrong impression one time and felt like he wasn't allowed to read commentaries, and he wasn't allowed to read anything that anybody else wrote about the Bible. He was only allowed to read the Bible. And I wouldn't go so far as to say that, because he developed some pretty strange doctrines. You know, there are some people that have taught in time past that have given us real clarity on certain things in the Bible. And I would suggest you do read things about the Bible. However, the Bible ought to be our primary source and our primary focus. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that have a lot of things to say about the Bible. And some of them, if you're not careful, even tend to make sense. I did something I don't usually do. I was a little bored, which actually doesn't happen very often. But it happened for a little while, and I ran across something on the internet. It was called Take the Bible Quiz and Test Your Knowledge. And I was trying to find the quiz again, because I went halfway through it and then just got disgusted. But let's test your Bible knowledge here for a minute. I'll just take two test questions out of this. And this was one that the world created to try to test Christians' knowledge of the Bible. And one of the questions was this: what did Thomas Jefferson do that labeled him as an infidel? Now, I know Bill would know that. Don't have a clue. Well, come on, man. That's a Bible question. It was in a Bible trivia questionnaire. And, of course, what he did is he wrote his own version of the Word of God, and that's what the answer was, and it labeled him as an infidel. And I thought, okay, fine. You know, I'll go to the next question. The next question was, and some of you guys might know this, what percentage of Hispanics in America believe in angels? I picked 46. I was wrong. It was 52%, you know. You can see why I didn't make it all the way through the quiz. I'm like, this is stupid, you know. Not only because I was failing the quiz, but because it didn't have anything. I mean, I was ready for some hard questions. I was ready for some good, solid Bible questions, you know. I didn't get any of those. And it really disappointed me. Well, I shouldn't have been disappointed, right? Get on the internet and take a Bible quiz. But it does illustrate how ignorant so many people are of the Word of God. Hey, man, they're hearing a lot of things. Hey, you know something? I would, if you haven't read this Bible all the way through, you know what I would challenge you? I would challenge you to get it read. I don't care if you have a third or fourth grade education. You can do it. We had a man one time that was having a hard time focusing while he read the Word of God. He said he had real bad ADHD and couldn't really read for a long period. But what he did is he got the Bible on tape and read along as somebody read it for him. I mean, I'm telling you, there are all kinds of ways that you can get. I don't have five-hour quiet times in the morning like some of the saints in times past had, where, you know, I can get in and read the book of Isaiah for my quiet time. I don't have that kind of time, you know. I would have to get up at 2 in order to do that. And I'm not going to do that. But I'll tell you something, that even in my busy schedule, there is an amazing thing called multimedia, you know, and I can take CDs. My son has an iPod that he bought for my wife on Mother's Day. And the thing is about that big. You know, I don't want one that small, because I'm going to lose it. You know, I'm going to say, man, where is my iPod? You know, it's just, you're going to lose something that small. But it's got the entire Bible plus about 5,000 songs and I don't know what all else on it. I'm telling you, you don't have an excuse not to hear Him. God wants you to hear Him. God doesn't just want you to hear about Him. He wants you to hear Him. And so I would say that's a very, very good advice. Be careful what you hear. Man, I would like to drive you back to the authority of the Word of God for itself. Man, you'll be able to call out Joel Osteen's in a minute. You won't be confused and be thinking, man, you know, does he really, or is that really true? No, you'll know the Word of God. And listen, you won't have to study the New Age and become an expert in Jehovah's Witness doctrine or anything else. Man, if you just knew this Bible well, then when somebody says something that's contrary to it, then little warning lights will go off and you'll, no, wait a minute, that's not really what the Bible says. Man, everybody in this room ought to become a Bible thumper. I remember one time in my family that there was a member of my family that was seeking the Lord, and some other member of the family was talking to him, and he says, "Well, you know, go talk to Brian." And he says, "Well, no, I don't want to talk to Brian." And I said, "Well, why don't you want to talk to Brian?" Because everything with him is the Bible says. He doesn't think for himself, and he doesn't tell me anything for himself. And they related it back to me, like, "Hey, man, you know, you need to tone down this Bible thing," like they were going to correct me. They didn't realize, man, I was like, "Really? Wow." You know, I actually took it as kind of a badge of honor and a compliment, you know, because who cares what I think? I want to know what the Bible says.
Amen.
And that doesn't make me anti-intellectual. It doesn't. But man, I'm telling you something. I've come up with some of my own ideas, and some of my own ideas are really, really weird and bizarre and not worth the time of day. But this right here. So I would say, be careful what you hear. Now let's go. Let's go to another passage. Look at the book of Matthew in chapter 13. Well, so far we've got the book of Luke there at the Mount of Transfiguration where God says, "Hear Him." And so I would say that you hear the voice of authority. Listen to God. Listen to Jesus Christ. Listen to those words. I would say be careful what you hear. Make sure it is the words of Jesus Christ and not some secret code that somebody has discovered in the Scriptures. Just let the Scriptures speak. And then he says over there in Matthew chapter 13, this is interesting, at the end of verse 9, after he gives, he says the same thing, after he gives this parable of the sower, he says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then he begins to describe how, and won't read the entire passage here, but he begins to describe Israel and how Israel's heart was hardened, their ears are waxed gross, and because of their behavior, because of their treatment of God and of the Word of God and authority, he actually set them aside and blinded their minds. And we'll go back to it in a minute, but look at there in verse 16. He said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." I want you to see that there's another aspect to this command, "Hear Him," and that comes in the form of opportunity. I want you to consider a minute the opportunity that you have. Not even just the opportunity to sit here in freedom, without persecution, with a healthy mind, and be able to consider and hear the Word of God, but I want you to notice how precious this particular thing is. Look what let's back up there. He says in verse 13, he says, "Therefore I speak unto them, Israel, in parables, because they seeing see not, and they hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand." So when he's talking about hearing, it's not just simply hearing the words, it's understanding. And I would say if any of you are preachers of the gospel, you should seek to make the Word of God understood. It's not enough simply just to quote a verse and let that be it. Well, you know, fine, I gave them the gospel. No, we really need to be involved in trying to get people to understand the Word of God. And he says, "Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, they hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then them is fulfilled the prophet Isaiah, which saying, 'By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxen gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them.'" I'm telling you, there's some things going on there that you really need to consider, because there was a whole entire group of people that God allowed darkness to descend upon them concerning the truth. And then he opened it up to another group of people, and that's us, Gentiles.
Thank you, Lord.
So he tells you, he gives you a message. He said, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear."
Amen.
Now, what is it he's trying to say? It's because you guys are such a special group of people that he's given you the opportunity to be able to hear. Let me ask you, why are you here while you're here right now? I mean, what is it that brought you here? What is it that allowed you to be in a country where the gospel can be preached freely? Is it because you had some effort? Man, that's why, you know, racism is such an incredible thing. When white supremacists get all up in the collar and start looking down at other races, and you look and you say, man, what kind of ability did you have that allowed you to be born in a particular race? You know, man, there's so much you don't have any control of. You didn't have any control of where you were born, what race you were born. You didn't have any control as to the mind that you have. And you might not consider yourself very smart here today, but if you can understand my words, you are a blessing. If you can understand what I'm saying, because there are people in the world that are born without that ability to understand. My daughter Alyssa, she wouldn't have the ability to be able to comprehend a gospel message. And she was born that way. I'm talking about in terms of opportunity. God gave a command and He said, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. And look, we've got opportunity to hear Him. I met a man one time that was all strung out and had gotten into all kinds of different things and got so desperate that he actually resorted to sniffing glue and sniffing spray paint. Guy could barely pronounce his own name. The things that he had done to his brain fried his brain to where his body was walking and moving, but that he didn't have the ability to think and to reason, and somebody had to take care of him. Now, let me ask you a question. How are you going to get the gospel to a man like that? Can God do miracles? Absolutely. Could God clear his mind up so he had the opportunity to understand? Yes, he could. But chances are, unless God intervened, that man's the walking dead. He's lost his opportunity. There are people that say, you know, I just wait till I'm old and then I'll consider God's voice then. Let me tell you, you can't bank on that either.
Amen.
Young people die. You may not realize it, but they do. And you might say, I'll wait till I'm older. Well, you can see what happens to some people. Have you ever talked to an elderly person that's had dementia? That's had advanced form of Alzheimer's? There's no coming back from that. They're alive, they're in their bodies, but they're the walking dead. They don't have any ability. Let me tell you, right now, blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. What are you doing despising such an incredible message from God? Because this is the message that God wants to communicate with you, that He has a Son that He sent to die for your sins so that you might have eternal life.
Amen.
The gospel is not, like Bill was talking about this morning, to clean yourself up with rules and regulations so that you can make yourself presentable to God. Man, the gospel is that we are lost and dead in our trespasses and sins, and His blood is the only thing that can cleanse us from our sins. And by accepting Him, by believing His message, we live and live forever.
Amen.
Men hate that message. They despise Jesus Christ. They harden their hearts against Him. Let me say, if you've got the ability to understand today, if you have got the willingness to want to hear what God says to you today, don't harden your heart. Don't despise it. Don't turn away from it. There are countries right now where the gospel is illegal to preach. You're not going to find somebody street preaching on the corner in some countries. You're not going to find open churches that you can walk into anytime you want. You're not going to be able to have that kind of ability. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's look at another aspect of this. Look in the book of Luke. The same thing. Parable of the four kinds of ground, and it ends up, and this is how he states as he's summing it up there in verse 18. He says, Luke chapter 8, verse 18, take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that he seemeth to have. So he says it just a little bit different here, and I thought this was interesting, and this actually was a challenge to me, because he says, take heed, therefore, how you hear. Okay, we've got a command, hear him. Okay, that's very clear. We're told to be careful that we hear him and hear his words, to take the opportunity that we're given to hear him. And now we've got, in the sense of how and to why we're going to hear him. And And I don't know if it's particularly intended that way, but he says, take heed therefore how you hear. And of course, we can read verses in the Bible where it says that people became dull of hearing. Now, this isn't usually directed towards those that are just newly interested. I'm telling you, when I first got saved, I could hardly get enough of the Word of God. I mean, I didn't care if a false prophet was preaching it, man. I wanted to hear, you know. I wanted to get in. And I remember there was a brother who put a loop on his sound system in his house to where Lester Roloff preaching was going on 24 hours a day in his house. And you might laugh at that a little bit, but there was a brother who wanted to hear some preaching of the Word of God. And there was a time, I've gotten a little cynical since then. There are a lot of people that don't know what they're talking about, that purport themselves to be preachers of the gospel. And there's a lot of false messages out there. And I'm not saying that you hear him, but you know, we can get to the place, and I'm talking about those of you that are veteran hearers of the Word of God. You can get to the place where you can get a little bit dull of hearing. Where you can get to the place where the Word of God doesn't affect you anymore because you know you just heard it before. And you've heard people better preaching it, and you've heard people more dynamic preaching it, and you've heard it presented in different ways. And so sometimes the challenge is, after you've been in the Word of God for a long time, you've got to be real careful that you don't get dull of hearing.
Amen.
Be careful how you hear. Sure don't want to hear with a hard heart. Look at Hebrews in chapter 5. Hebrews in chapter 5, in verse 11. He says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again that which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. Even those that by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And I've said all that, and I actually forgot verse 11, which is the crux of the whole matter. And we'll go back and read it. It says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered." And why are they hard to be uttered? "Seeing you are dull of hearing." You know, it's one thing to be ignorant of the Word of God when you're young in the Word of God. It's another thing to have been walking with the Lord for years and still be ignorant in the Word of God. There's just actually no excuse for it. We have too many resources. There are too many things at your disposal. Man, we've got commentary. We've got lesson plans. We've got church classes. I mean, there are all kinds of things at your disposal. Why is it you've been walking with the Lord for 15 and 20 years and you still know very little about the Word of God? It shouldn't be that way. The Word of God should have an effect on you. Those of you that have been in the Word for a while, you've got to have the ability to be able to teach others. Maybe you become dull of hearing where the Word of God just doesn't have a great effect on you anymore. You've seen it all, right? You've heard it all. You've heard the best of the best. You know, I would say something. I would give you some advice if you're starting to get a little burned out. Has anybody ever been there? Probably nobody in this room. Probably nobody on Corey's row either, right? Or you just get, man, the gospel again. Man, all you got to do is remember where you came from.
Amen.
And how close you were to splitting hell wide open.
Amen.
And how gracious and merciful God was to you. And how he killed somebody else and let you live so that you could hear the gospel. I'm telling you, sometimes you got to buck up. And if you've been in the gospel for years, if you've been in the church for years, if you've been listening to the Word of God for years, and you've come to the place where you've become just a little bit dull of hearing, then you got to be careful how you're hearing. Let me ask you a question. Are you being clouded because of the personality of the preacher? Because there are people that get their favorite preachers,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And we all have them, you know. We all have our favorite preachers. We all have our favorite speakers. There are some people that stand up, and you know right away when they stand up, your eyes kind of roll. You know, nobody here, but you just got your favorite ones, you know. I'm telling you, there are some people on the radio that they have a good message, but I click them off. And the reason why I click them off is because there's something in their personality that, or the way that they speak that says, oh man, I just can't bear to hear it. And that's just the way that we get. And then we come to church and we kind of cross our arms, you know, and we put that little chip on our shoulder, and you get that look on your face like some of you got right now, like, you know, I came here, now I dare you to bless me. You know? Like, go ahead, say something I've never heard before. I will. You got itching ears, you know? You want to hear something new. You want to hear something just in a little bit different way. Yeah, be careful how you hear. Be careful that your prejudices and that your preconceived notions block you from getting something good out of the Word of God. And that's a blessing to be in a church that has the Word of God as a foundation. Now, I can understand that reaction if you go somewhere and somebody spends the entire time talking and they say nothing remotely related to the Word of God. I can understand how you turn somebody off like that. But man, I'm telling you, we veterans, we ought to know a little bit more about how to listen to the Word of God. Because let me tell you, you still need to hear Him.
Amen.
And He still wants to talk to you. And there are some things that He wants to say to you. And your life isn't totally right. You're not a goody-two-shoes, and you don't have that halo on your head, and you don't have it all together like you purport, you know, like you kind of present on the outside. There are things that you need to work on.
Amen.
We know that. We know what Bill needs to work on, and we got some of his things down, and you laugh at him, but then there are some things you have to work on too.
Amen.
In fact, why don't we just take a poll? Let's go brother to brother. What do you need? Yeah, man, no way, man. I remember when I was a kid and we'd have to go to confessional. My priest knew my parents, knew my uncle, knew my grandparents. I had to make up stuff when I went in there. I couldn't confess my real sins. He knew me. Yeah, but you got things to work on. Let me tell you, the psychiatrists of the world, they go so far, they don't have all the answers. Because they can sometimes tweak a little chemical imbalance in the brain, but they don't know anything about the soul. You know who knows about the soul? God.
Amen.
You know, created the soul, God.
Amen.
You know why you do the things and say the things that you do. You know why we have certain things in our human natures, because God designed it and He put it there. It's all in our DNA. God knows you. He knows when you get up. He knows when you sit down. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows not only your thoughts, but the intents of the heart. He knows what you thought and why you thought it. And there's some days you don't even know why you thought it. You ever walked away from a conversation saying to yourself, why did I say that?
Yeah.
You don't even know. You are so complex, and God understands you, and He wants you to hear Him. Look at the book of James, chapter 1, verse 24. This is a message, this is a passage for all of you veterans that have heard it all, seen it all, read it all, done it all. Maybe give you some encouragement to seek some fresh message from God. He says in James chapter 1 verse 24, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, in this passage right here, it compares the Word of God to like a mirror that you look and you see what you are. And man, I'm telling you what, there's nothing like the Word of God to expose you for what you are. That's why it's called light. That's why it's called walking in light and walking in darkness. You go into some places, I remember being in an apartment one time where if you left the light on too long, you were in trouble. Because in that darkness, the cockroaches would come out. And you flip on that light, and all of a sudden, the cockroaches are scattering everywhere. Listen, this is a good way to decide who's cockroaches and who aren't. Young ladies, you want to know if that boy that's interested in you is a cockroach or not? Open the light. Open the Word of God. If he goes scurrying off into a corner somewhere, then you know you don't have any business with him at all. I'm serious. This thing will expose all kinds of stuff. Man, that's why when I first got saved, of course, you know, I didn't have, you know, a lot of knowledge in anything, and I didn't grow up really with a real, even though I grew up in the Catholic Church, I had no basis in the Bible or real solid morality or anything. And so I just kept going to the bars like I did before, you know, except that now I'm a Christian, so I don't drink JD and Coke anymore. So I just drink Coke with a little straw, you know, and I found out very quickly, man, my ministry there was going to be very short lived, because it sure is hard to try to preach the Word of God when the music's loud and the booze is flowing and the skirts are short. You know, nobody's going to pay any attention and nobody's going to listen, you know. And it's going to draw me back in.
Amen.
I can look at myself in the Word of God and I can see myself for what I really am. And I know, you know, a lady told me one time, I just don't read the Word of God because when I read it, I feel bad. I'm telling you something, sometimes when I read it, I feel bad too. And that's God's design. Sometimes I feel shame. You know, it's sad that our society is trying to get rid of any shame. You know, we got all kinds of pride days, you know, gay pride parades and everything. I'm not going to march in no gay pride parade because you shouldn't have pride over something like that, you know. I'll march in a monogamous, one man, one woman, straight pride parade, you know. But nothing like that's ever going to happen. Oh, man, but we need to see ourselves for what we really are. Listen, veteran Christian, those of you that have heard all the messages and you've done all the things, why don't you seek to get revived again from this same Word that originally saved your soul? Why don't you stop being so cynical over all the preaching and over exactly the way you do it and stop, you know, evaluating personalities so much? Because if that person is preaching out of the Word of God, I tell you, there's probably something in for you. Why don't you do this? Why don't you, as soon as you set yourself down, whether you belong to this church or belong to some other church, and you sit down and listen to the person that speaks, why don't you set aside some of those things that are in your mind and in your heart, and why don't you think in your mind, God wants me to hear Him.
Amen.
And then see, expect that there's something in the message that's going to touch you.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing. Four kinds of ground in that parable. Only one kind of ground bore all that fruit. If you walk in here and you're sitting there while the message is going on and you're balancing your checkbook on your phone, well, man, I'm sorry, you're probably not going to get a lot out of the message. If you're sitting there worried about all this and that, man, give God some opportunity to speak to your heart again.
Amen.
You need to hear Him. You need to hear what He has to say. And this passage right here says that if you just look and then you walk away, you're going to forget what manner of man you was. Forget what manner of man you were, and nothing's going to happen. Listen, I tell you something, I need to be changed.
Amen.
I need to be changed. I need to be transformed. It's not enough that I simply belong to God. You need to be changed too.
Amen.
You need to, there are some things in your prayer that God wants to change. Listen, why don't you pray? Expect something from God, and then if God shows you something, say, God, give me the grace, and make some concrete steps to be able to change something in your life. Man, let's get practical with this thing. Is this just rhetoric? Is this just entertainment? Is it something that you just do for a little while because that's what Christians do? Or do you really want to get closer to God? He that hath ears to hear, God says, after those parables, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You've got the speaker that has all authority, and that's God. And believe me, God has all the authority. He's got the only message that's going to change your life and save your soul. You've got opportunity right now to hear that message again. Anytime you want to open that book, it's there. And you've got reasons. You've got the why as to why you ought to again get your heart tender towards this word right here. So who's got ears to hear? Maybe it's time to unplug those ears. You've been a little dull of hearing. You've been a little cynical. You've been a little distracted. This book's here for you. And God will touch you. And He'll speak to you if you let Him. Then I would just say one final thing. If you're here today and you're not saved, maybe this is the first time you've ever really been in church before, I want you to know that God has a message for you. And it's not a message of improvement and getting your life on track and getting rich and all those other kinds of things. Man, those things may happen if you call on His name. But God knows that the sickness in your soul runs so deep that there's nothing you can do to save yourself. And the message of the Bible is you're on a broad road that leads to destruction, and there's nothing that's going to get you off that road, turn you around, except for the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ died in your place as a substitute for your sins. And if you'll call upon His name, then He'll save your soul. That's why God says, you don't hear Moses and Elias, you hear Him and Jesus Christ. And let's bow for a word of prayer.